across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
And welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Tuesday, August 29th, 7:06 in the morning on this National Sports Sampling Day. That sounds like a back-to-school thing. Try some new sport, new activity. It's National More Herbs, Less Salt Day. I could get on board with that. And National According to Hoyle Day, as in the Hoyle cards and the company that prints out all the rules for all the various card games. So, you know, learn a new card game today or this weekend. You know, pick up on your cribbage or your euchre or your sheep's head skills. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk about giving veterans the care that they've earned as we talk to Ben Murray, a veteran and former legislative candidate. We'll talk about recent actions at the federal level and things that could still be done at both the federal and state levels to help out our veterans and, again, give them the care and the benefits that they've earned. And we'll talk to Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio. His program follows this one up in the Wausau area, or you can catch it outside the Wausau area on the Civic Media app. Go to civicmedia.us to learn more about the app, to learn more about all of our shows, to listen to all of our shows as a podcast. For example, maybe you missed the last hour where we talked about imaginary appointments as Republicans in the legislature this morning try to once again monkey with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And we also talked about the very real meltdown of the Chief Justice of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, still very unhappy about the new liberal majority taking control away from her. We also had Christina Laurie with the Uplift and some of the positive stories in our newsletter. And again, over at civicmedia.us, you can catch every episode as its own separate podcast. And you can subscribe to the podcast at Apple, Spotify, all the other regular places as well. To join us here live, our number is 844-967-2789, or you can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching the live feed, we do a video feed on several different Facebook pages, including the Up North News Facebook page. Leave a comment there. We might see it. We might put it up on air. And sometimes we might put up something without context. For instance, here's Deanna's comment. It simply says, "Ben." Now, if you were watching the live feed on social media, you know that we were talking about Michael Jackson songs and which one we're going to play next after the next commercial break, because today would have been his 65th birthday. But by and large, we're glad to have you along on the Civic Media Radio Network listening there. We have a special back-to-school edition of the Up North News Daily Newsletter, and I will be putting that up on the homepage right at the end of the show today, so you'll be able to go to upnorthnewswi.com and see what we've been working on in terms of stories that have a bit more of a news and political bent to them about going back to school. The impact of the state budget, that big agreement that was reached between Governor Evers and legislative Republicans. Despite that deal, nearly 40% of Wisconsin school districts are still going to get less state general aid than last school year. There's also a feature story that Selena's told us about before, about alumni who don't think they're going to come back to their hometowns, but then they do. And they become teachers in their hometowns. And so we've got that story in that edition of the newsletter as well. Sign up for our regular daily newsletter over at the website. We also are going to be continuing to follow the Milwaukee Brewers just stay hot. And with now 9 games in a row being the win streak, it's going to lead to the inevitable, letdown, because we've also seen the losing streaks. Remember what happened right before this 9-game win streak was being swept in Los Angeles by the Dodgers. And we thought, oh no, here it comes. But instead, that was just the thing that it took to turn the Brewers around. They then went and swept series since that time, and have now won the first game against the Cubs, beating them 6-2. And that's giving the Brewers a 5-game lead in the division now over the Cubs. Mark Yelich homered right off the bat at Wrigley Field last night. Mark Canha homered as well in a 4-run first inning And the Brewers went on to beat the Cubs 6-2 on Monday night. Wade Miley went 6 full innings, so that's 18 outs. 12 of those 18 outs were ground balls. So, you know, not a bad way to put some relief on the bullpen, which needed to put in some extra time the day before when our starting pitcher went down with some elbow tightness. The Brewers are now 5 games, as I mentioned, in front of Chicago, and the 9 straight wins is the longest streak for the Brewers since an 11-game winning streak back in 2021. They will play games again tonight and tomorrow afternoon. And again, you can catch those games on Oshkosh Air Support in the Fox Valley and News from the Center in Richland Center as well. And I get all the Brewer stuff out of the way because I know that at some point we're going to be turning to football season here. We've already made passing mention once or twice that the Badger season is going to get underway coming up this weekend. And then the Green Bay Packers are not far behind. But there is also no end of coverage of local high school football all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Now, we're going to talk to Chad Holmes later this hour about the Wausau area games that he covers. Well, not just Wausau, but games throughout north central Wisconsin. And then we'll talk either later this week or next week with some more of the Civic Media sports people about the opportunities to listen to your hometown sports on your hometown radio station or now the Civic Media app. You can catch those games anywhere. All right, we'll come back and unpack some more of the headlines on the day after this. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back. It's still really something to note that Michael Jackson would have been 65 years old today. Got to Be There was his first single hit as a solo artist, not with the Jackson 5. Had a few other nice little love songs, and then came Off the Wall in the late 70s, where he was doing more upbeat dance. And then, of course, he became the, you know, the Thriller that he became later as a solo artist before passing away far too young. Again, Michael Jackson's 65th birthday would have been today. We were just talking about the Civic Media app. I understand there's a bug or two in it right now this morning that we're working on. But when we get done talking to Jennifer here about the weather, we're going to let you know about Badger football as well as high school sports on the app. But right now, Jennifer Vucicki is from Weatherology and joins us now to talk about what's been a fairly pleasant morning across Wisconsin before we get set for another warm-up heading into that last holiday weekend of summer. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, and that's exactly what you said. A pretty decent forecast here until we get to the weekend. Like you said, that warm-up comes in. It's really going to feel like summer coming in for the Labor Day holiday coming up. It looks like at least a slight chance for some showers and potentially some thunderstorms during the day around Waukesha and Milwaukee with a blend of clouds and sunshine developing. Just a slight chance for some for the late morning hours for showers and storms around Wausau and Oshkosh with some cloud cover to start, then a blend of clouds and sunshine developing in the afternoon hours. Otherwise, sunshine expected for everyone else. High temperatures today getting into the upper 70s to low 80s for most. A few locations slightly cooler in the mid-70s. It does look like a potential for some haze coming in for west central Wisconsin around Amory and Baldwin with wildfires going off in Canada again. So definitely something to keep in mind in those locations. Dry for everyone tonight, then Wednesday, sunny across the board. The coolest day this week as a cold front fully pushes through. Mid to low 70s for most. The coolest spot actually dropping into the upper 60s around Milwaukee. And then a warm front begins to push through for the second half. The work week with sunny skies and temperatures starting to warm. Only slightly warmer on Thursday, mid 70s to around 80 degrees. Then low to mid 80s for Friday mostly. Then continuing to warm for the start of the Labor Day weekend with some locations seeing highs getting into the 90s on Saturday.
And as we noted in the last hour, it's supposed to be, you know, fall approaching. There will be plenty of time for pumpkin spice latte, but we're going to go ahead and do one more summer weekend as we head into Labor Day here. Jennifer, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thanks to you.
All right, 63 degrees right now in Chippewa Falls, 63 in La Crosse, 61 degrees in Wisconsin Rapids. So I mentioned the Badgers right before the break and wanted to note that the Wisconsin Badger football games will kick off this Saturday, 2:30, and you can hear them across the Civic Media Network on several stations. They include WRJN in Racine, 1400 AM, also 99.9 and 98.1 FM. Then there's WFHR, Homegrown Radio in Wisconsin Rapids, and that's at 1320 AM and 97.5 FM. WLAK Amory, Lake Air, 1260 AM. WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. That, of course, would be news from the center in Richland Center. And the Badgers can be streamed on the Civic Media app. So sometimes we get people calling or writing in, and they're saying, how come I'm not hearing the Brewers game on the app? The Brewers games, Major League Baseball rules, National Football League rules, things like that, don't allow for streaming necessarily, but that's not the case with Badger football. So you can catch Badger football on all of those Civic Media stations, but if you're not around those stations, you can now listen to the game right there on your phone or other mobile device, which is a very nice development to have. Up North News now has an apparel store where you can get t-shirts that say things like Wisconsin needs local news and beer and cheese and voting rights and am I up north right now and a definition of the bubbler for your non-Wisconsin friends out there. To get a look at those t-shirts, head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click store in the top banner. All right, let's catch up on some of the other headlines from today that revolve around what is that number again? I want to get it right here. Oh, yes. Let's get the news around inmate number P0113850009. And that, of course, is the inmate number given to Donald Trump when he was arraigned on his Georgia charges last week. There were a few developments yesterday in that case. There's also the federal election tampering case. And in that federal election tampering case, a judge yesterday set a trial date for March 4th of next year. You might recall that Trump's attorneys laughably proposed pushing the trial off until a little bit after the next presidential election. Okay, a long ways off from the next presidential election. They wanted to push off the trial till 2026. The judge said in so many words, get out of here. And they said, again, the fake naivete from these judges. Oh, there are millions of documents, literally millions of documents. It's going to take that long to read them. As if these people don't know how the court system works, how computers work, the summaries that are put forward that have been done in countless trials. And the judge called them out on it, rightly so. And yes, March 4th happens to be the day before the Super Tuesday primaries next spring. To again, which the judge said along the lines of, so what? Any other defendant has to work their schedule, their professional and personal obligations around the trial date. They are on trial right now. They are accused of breaking the law. They are accused criminals. They are accused felons. And so that's what comes first. Donald Trump, like every other defendant, is fortunate that we have the bail system that we do in this country that says you don't have to linger in jail until your trial. Now, that system is flawed, and far too many people who do not have Donald Trump's means do have to linger in jail until their trial. But it's not supposed to be that way, and Donald Trump is one of those who has the good fortune to be able to continue to engage in his business, see his family, raise money, engage in whatever grifting he wants to. The one thing he's not supposed to be doing is antagonizing the judges, the prosecutors, attempting to tamper with witnesses or taint the jury pool. And he continues to tiptoe on that line. But the judge yesterday, Tanya Chutkan, clearly took note of it in making a comment about how the defendant, in this case Donald Trump, the sooner that trial is held, the less likely it is that he could conceivably engage in any other criminal activity, which again is the kind of thing you have to be mindful of with a defendant, with any defendant, is that before they face accountability for their previous crimes, they could conceivably commit new ones. And so that was what was happening on the federal election tampering case. Now back to the one in Georgia. Yesterday's developments did not involve Donald Trump so much as they involved his final White House chief of staff, Mark Meadows, another former Republican congressman. And Mark Meadows is taking a big gamble and trying to get his trial moved out of court in Georgia, out of state court in Georgia. Again, these are state charges filed by a local district attorney. Mark Meadows is making the case that the trial does not belong in state court and that he should be standing trial in federal court instead, because the actions and the crimes that he's accused of making took place as part of his official duties as a federal employee advising the president of the United States. And he even went so far as to take and make that gamble even bigger. And he took the stand in his own defense. And the consensus seems to be it did not go well, because in cross-examination over some 4 hours of testimony, much was said about the infamous Trump phone call to the Georgia Secretary of State saying, "Fellas, give me a break. I just need to find 11,780 votes," which, again, the votes were done being counted. The recounting was done. This had been certified. So when he said, "I just need to find votes," he was saying, change the number and just say you recalculated. Mark Meadows was on that phone call. Mark Meadows helped facilitate that phone call. And throughout cross-examination, it basically turned into a confession that, yeah, these kinds of things are not exactly done as the official capacity of a president, but more as a candidate. And that he was engaging in activity that was basically advising and assisting a candidate, not advising and assisting the president of the United States in his official capacity. So at the moment, the reports out of court seem to indicate that Mark Meadows not only is not going to get his trial moved to federal court, but he may have made things worse for Donald Trump as well as for himself, because, again, he has the right to not engage in self-incrimination, but apparently he did not have the ability and did engage in incrimination not only of himself, but of the president through these things that came out. So for now, the state case will move forward. And so Meadows and Trump and all of the other defendants in this case will be appearing in Fulton County Superior Court in Atlanta on September 6th, which is, where is that in terms of Labor Day again? Let's see, Labor Day is the 4th, so that'll be Wednesday of next week, that Donald Trump and Mark Meadows and the others will be back in court. And then we'll learn more about, you know, the potential trial date, how that date and the federal elections tampering trial date and the New York hush money falsifying business records trial date might all be within a vicinity of each other. That's going to take some, shall we say, communication back and forth between all these various court jurisdictions. And then those court dates will all be peppered throughout a Republican presidential primary calendar, where, again, the former president is saying that, you know, he does not have time for these trials. He's the leading Republican candidate for president. But again, that doesn't matter right now. We've had plenty of people who are the leading candidate for their party's nomination at this stage of the campaign, who completely flamed out before a single vote was cast. And yeah, I'm looking at you, Scott Walker. So Donald Trump's status as a front runner means nothing. It's not a real status. It's horse race status that has been given to Trump by a compliant media. A compliant media that we don't have time to get into right now, but perhaps tomorrow I'll share more of a tremendous column by Will Bunch in the Philadelphia Inquirer, who writes, "Journalism fails miserably at explaining what is really happening in America and how horse race coverage, traditional horse race coverage, is doing so much damage when the story should not be about a typical election, but about the creeping authoritarianism that is at the heart of the current threat to democracy. So we'll share more of that column from Will Bunch either tomorrow or at the very latest on Friday when Mark Jacob is here. So up next, we'll talk to Ben Murray about veterans issues coming up right after this break. You're up north.
Baptisms of fire.
So there were these remarks that were delivered by President Biden earlier this month in Salt Lake City. They did not get a lot of attention, in part because of a fatal shooting that took place of somebody who had posted threats to President Biden and who was heavily armed. And when law enforcement went to investigate, there was a shootout and he was killed. And it took some of the attention away from the actual occasion of the president's visit. And a lot of that speech focused on veterans and veterans care, things that have been done, things that could still be done. And so we thought that would be a good reason to touch base with our friend Ben Murray to not only talk about some of these federal things that have happened, but the things that still should be done, because it is a massive debt that we owe the people who serve our country. And while it's one that can never be fully repaid, there is no excuse for not trying as best you can. And Ben joins us now from up in Marinette. Ben, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine, thanks. And hey, before we get into federal matters, let me start with one thing at the state level that you called to my attention. And it's an Assembly Bill, AB 26, sitting in the Assembly and sponsored in part by Democratic Representative Chris Sinicki. Tell me what it is that she has in the bill and what you think it is that should be easy for legislators of any political stripe to support.
So this bill, AB 26, it's been, I think this is the third year that it's been in the Assembly. It would empower the UW system to fund a team to go overseas and locate the remains of Wisconsin KIA service members. And then, bring them home so they can get the proper honors, proper burial, and closure for their families. The bill would cost approximately $600,000 over 3 years, so under $200,000 a year. I believe it currently has up to 90 co-sponsors in the Assembly. This bill should be a slam dunk, very easy to get through. It passed out of the Veterans Affairs Committee unanimously, and the Assembly just can't get it up for a vote. We could all speculate why, but I think that this one, AB 26, to bring home fallen service members, would be just a real easy vote and something that would not cost us a lot of money and would really help families. So if anyone listening gets a chance to call your assembly person, write them, send a letter to push to get a vote on this one in the fall session, that would be fantastic.
And look, I don't want to dwell in making this political or divisive in any way, except to say that that amount of money gets spent by snapping your fingers by a lot of legislators who hire private attorneys, for example, to engage in all manner of court cases. And that's just one of many examples where, again, with a multi-billion dollar budget surplus, this seems to be an awfully fair investment for, again, the veterans who served us, who were killed in action, who still have family in Wisconsin. So I'm not sure how long ago that passed out of committee, but it seems to be the kind of thing that you'd want to bring up in a fall legislative session and just get that done with. And by the way, close circuit to just Republican legislators who are listening today. I'm sure you all are. You pay attention every day. Look, if you don't want to do the things that Governor Tony Evers is inviting you to do in a special session, like save affordable child care and things like that, you don't have to do those things, but you could still show up for the special session and you could pass other things like this bill and still make some kind of a political stand, but at least then you don't like look like you're doing absolutely nothing, which is what would happen if you gavel in and gavel out the special session. So there ends my free advice. I know you have Robin Voss or Devin Lemonhue on your speed dial. Maybe think about getting some work done this fall, which could include this bill. So Ben, thank you for bringing that to our attention. As you looked at the overall, you know, state budget debate and the way that surplus was used, way it wasn't used, and the ideas that were out there, I know it's been a while since it passed, but what were your own observations watching the final product that came out of the Republican-led legislature?
You know, I think my biggest takeaway was the way the surplus wasn't used. You know, I'm not advocating a massive spending spree and go and empty the coffers or anything, but, you know, last time I was on here, we talked about the Assistance to Needy Veterans program. We talked about the police recruitment and retention grant, both of which got zeroed out. Affordable child care, you know, there was heavy government subsidies during COVID, and without those support, you know, we're going to see a lot of rural Wisconsin citizens that either their childcare skyrockets or their local childcare facility closes. And, you know, in a place like Crivitz, which is the closest town to where I live, there's not a lot of options. If the one childcare center closes down, the next closest might be Marinette, might be Coleman or Lena. So, you know, you're already tacking on 20, 30 minutes in the car just to get childcare.
And I hope that people, legislators, hear that, because so often when we talk about, you know, caring for our veterans, and we talk about these things that are somewhat veteran exclusive, you know, like the VA and like this KIA bill that you talked about. But let's not forget that when veterans, you know, when they come home, they engage in all of the regular aspects of life, which might include needing affordable childcare for their kids or their grandkids or something like that. So when you talk about taking care of veterans, we have to talk about all of the regular things that this legislature could be doing and the opportunities that it appears they missed.
Oh, completely agree. You know, more often than not, a bill that helps veterans, you know, like childcare, for example, or expanding Badger Care under the Affordable Care Act. You know, these are things that help veterans, help regular Wisconsin citizens, help everyone. And, you know, with the kind of budget surplus we have, there's really no reason not to pass legislation that benefits the citizens, as opposed to a tax break that disproportionately benefits the wealthy.
And that was the main thing, is that, you know, you could have made good investments with this. Whenever you hear Republicans talking about, you know, a tax and spending spree, you know, again, that's a go-to rhetorical term, but it also implies that there's no smart way to invest the money in our roads and in our people and things like that. And so I think all we ask of folks listening to this show is to actually look at the proposals. What are you for? What was Governor Evers for? What are the Republicans for? And the one thing we saw they were for, as you said, was a massive tax cut for the very wealthy. And we're still waiting to see exactly what kind of investments they can make into our veterans and in our families and things like that. So with that, let's turn toward the federal side of things, because there's one big one that had a one-year anniversary, and then we'll cover a few other ones that folks might want to know about. And the big one, of course, would be the PACT Act, the one that Senator Tammy Baldwin worked on with, you know, such great intensity to get passed. We often talk about it with respect to exposure to burn pits in, you know, overseas battlefields and the respiratory ailments that came from it. And according to the president's remarks earlier this year, more than 340,000 veteran survivors are already benefiting from the law 1 year after it was signed. Ben, we recall all the horror stories about Agent Orange, and veterans were not believed when they were ill for all this time. The PACT Act sounds like one of those things when people say, what does government do that gets it right? This, a year into it, sounds like one of those things.
Yes. I mean, 340,000 veterans going from passing it to benefiting people, you know, 340,000 in 1 year. That's a lot. That's a big success. The PACT Act does benefit Vietnam veterans and Gulf War veterans and post 9/11 veterans. So this is something that is generationally positive. you know, because we still have Vietnam veterans dealing with the effects of Agent Orange, and we still have, you know, Gulf War veterans, even though that was 30 years ago, who have never gotten the health care they need. And while they were serving, you know, they got told, yeah, it's okay to go breathe the air despite the burning oil wells. So the government got this one very right. And, you know, you mentioned Senator Tammy Baldwin, who worked on it. I know Senator Baldwin's up for re-election. You know, just a quick plug for anyone who maybe has a moderate friend, a friend who's not sure who they're voting for. When it comes to veterans care, Senator Baldwin is spectacular. You know, I had an issue recently where I reached out to her office to get support with the VA, and I sent an email, and I had a phone call from a representative of her later that day. And, you know, we didn't get the resolution that I was hoping for, but every step of the way, very quickly, very efficiently, her office was just on the spot. And it's unbelievable to see a United States senator who's, you know, there's 6 million people in Wisconsin, and same day response. It's unbelievable.
Well, that was something we talked about during my time in the legislature as well, is when you said you didn't necessarily get the outcome you were hoping for. Sometimes the answer is no, but that's better than no answer at all. You'd rather get some kind of response. And it's the people who are left in limbo that certainly look at offices like Senator Baldwin's and say, well, at least somebody got me the information I need. And that's extremely important for constituents.
Yes, it's spectacularly important. And yeah, like, we're not going to win every battle that we fight. We're not going to get the answer we want every time. But having someone from the senator's office, like I said, same day response. And, you know, they were in touch with the VA quicker than I was. It's very, very just positive to have that kind of support. And, you know, hopefully we can send Senator Baldwin back for 6 more years.
So to go back to the PACT Act, to explain why, if people heard, you know, about Vietnam veterans and Gulf War veterans, what the law does is it empowers the VA to move quicker to determine if any veteran qualifies for the benefits, whether it's monthly disability compensation, regular toxic exposure screenings. The law created new facilities, new research, more healthcare workers at VA hospitals for those who have died. It led to greater access to life insurance, tuition benefits for surviving family members, home loan assistance, monthly stipends, and more. Again, it probably should not have taken that long to get done, but it did get done. And that's, you know, a big deal in a Congress that 2 years ago, you know, had Democratic control in the Senate and the House, as well as the White House. And so things were able to get done. But there are other things that, you know, still have to be tackled, that are being worked on, whether it's by the Biden administration or at the state level or what have you. So, Ben, if I were to, you know, say, do you have your own legislative to-do list, whether it's at the VA or on Capitol Hill or at the state capitol? Are there things that you'd like to see our elected officials fighting for faster, harder?
Yes. You know, for my entire life, I've heard about homeless veterans. You know, we can't help this group of people because we have homeless veterans, or we can't do XYZ because we have homeless veterans. And at some point, it feels like homeless veterans is just kind of a pawn when you don't want to help someone else. So I would like to see some efforts done to solve that problem. When I lived in San Diego, there were some abandoned hotels that got refurbished into basic, simple apartments with drug rehabilitation facilities and job placement training for homeless veterans. Specifically, all it cost the city was an abandoned hotel. You know, it's not drawing tax money anyways. It's not doing any good anyways. And it got a lot of homeless veterans, and then was expanded to just homeless, other homeless people off the street. And it was a fantastic success.
And here's what, you know, the record for last year: the VA found permanent housing for more than 40,000 veterans. They have a goal of permanently housing at least 38,000 more this year. But Biden has proposed that Congress join in and triple the number of rental assistance vouchers for extremely low-income veterans. something that might have a tough time passing a Republican-led Senate, but certainly something that seems to be a very worthy thing. We did not even get enough time to get into the registered apprentice programs that are being set up, and of course, trying to continue working on mental health issues that we have talked about to prevent still far too many veterans who are dying of suicide. So we will monitor those programs, Ben, get you back on and get your very candid answers on what kind of progress is being made. Hey, Ben, thanks for taking some time with us this morning. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me on anytime.
All right. Thanks so much, Ben. When we come back, Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio will be here to tell us what he's covering coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back.
I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man.
Here he goes. He's getting back on the bus. Chad Holmes traveling hither and yon. And you can catch Hither versus Yon this Friday across the Civic Media Radio Network. Hither is favored by 6 this week. Chad, how are you?
Doing good, Pat. How about you?
Very good, thanks. So does it feel good to be back? You got that first big trip to Superior out of the way. You got your back visiting the stadiums. Is it like riding a bike?
Yeah, I tell you, I mean, I enjoy everything I do with this position, to be honest with you, but the best part is doing the games and being around the kids, and you know, it's fun. If you can't have fun doing a bunch of sporting events, then you may as well be doing something else, because it really is. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of energy. Nowhere I'd rather be. I know that sometimes, you know, boy, another Friday night I don't have to myself, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Well, let me ask you about the past year, now year plus, that you've not only been doing your sports duties, but now your talk show duties. And the person I should have invited when I thought about this was my friend Bob Gallagher, who was our sports guy at Channel 13 for the longest time. And then he moved into news anchoring, and now he's the guy I watch at 4:30 in the morning when he's anchoring the sunrise broadcast on Channel 13. And then there was Chris Earle, who was our sports guy for the longest time, but became a very respected news anchor in Iowa and is now down in Florida. But, you know, it's like so many things in broadcasting and elsewhere, we all kind of make it look easy, that the good ones can make it look easy, but juggling going between news and sports, you know, again, there's a reason not everybody does it all the time. How's it been the past year trying to find that balance between having your sports hat on and, oh, I can't be talking sports all the time. We got news things to talk about. How's the experience been?
It's been good, interesting, and also at times a little nervous. There are times where I don't want to alienate people I've worked with for 20 years doing sports. And mm-hmm. I've been working together with a lot of folks within the schools. And my one-year anniversary of doing this program is the day after Labor Day. That was the first day after Labor Day last year that I started doing this show. And no, news is different than sports in the sense that, you know, sometimes you get into some very serious subjects that have differences of opinions. And just personally, I am not somebody that can be Mr. Teflon and have it just roll off my back at times. And I know I have to say some things where I believe and then the people that I know and respect disagree with me. And I still have a little trouble with that. I think that's one of the aspects of the job that I get a little nervous about. I don't want to be a guy stirring the pot just to stir the pot. I don't do that. And there's still moments where I come out and I'll say, you know, in the issue over at East, I know very well a couple of the people involved in that. And I worked with these people for many years before I started doing this. And to say something where I think they may have done something wrong is not easy, but I signed up for this, so I have to do that. And that's the hardest part of the job. I mean, talking about these issues, I enjoy it. I've been somebody that connects with that. I went to school for political science. I've always enjoyed the news and the political realm. So it's not something that I have to, you know, change what I read or what I follow. but there are times where I get very nervous about it at the same time, because in sports, it is more the fun aspect, and we're talking about some very serious issues on a daily basis.
But we're also talking about the team aspect in both cases, and I would hope that what this current era has taught us is that it's okay to have a team. It's okay to, you know, support a team, a person, and so forth, but not blindly. In other words, if you did have a coach, a player, a teacher who was, you know, engaged in a cheating scandal, or was, you know, abusing somebody or abusing a privilege, you'd like to think you have the spinal fortitude to say, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not rooting for you, and you're not on my team anymore. And that is where we find ourselves on the news side now, is, you know, to find an increasing number of Americans willing to say, yeah, I voted for that guy or I supported that team, but I can't do that right now because of the actions that they have taken. It's, you know, it's good to root. It's good to have people that you support, but I think we've all learned there has to be a line someplace when it comes to your values.
I am fortunate in that realm that that is an exceptionally good point. And fortunately, I am somebody that can root. I am not somebody that roots strictly for the laundry. That's the way I look at it. If you root for a team, no matter what, no matter who's wearing the uniform, you're rooting for the laundry. And fortunately, when some of my favorite players leave, if I'm following a team or something like that, it does affect how I do it. And for some people, it doesn't matter. They're gone. They're dead to them. Goodbye. But you're right, where there have been points where I think I agree with 90% of the audience. And there's a couple of things where I know I disagree. And when I say it, the people that are actually tuned into this program, where I know that, you know, we have a certain feel for what our audience is. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of things that I have said I know the folks disagree with, but I'm not going to pander to the audience, because I'm not doing a favor to them either. You have to be, I think, honest and give the perspective that you have, the people that you deal with, the people that you talk to, the information that you have. And hopefully that you have enough capital that they're going to, you know, listen to you at the very least, take under advisement what you're trying to say, but treat your audience with that kind of respect, because if you don't, you're of no use to them, because you're just sitting there parroting what they want to hear, and that doesn't work either.
Well, I think what people are learning and appreciating is the difference between when your team is doing bad versus when they're doing something wrong. And just take your favorite team. They may be going through a slump. They may have gone your entire life without winning a Super Bowl, you know, but by the same token, that's, you're going to root for them anyway, because they're bad, but they're my team. It's when they do something wrong that is where the line, and you know, to have that kind of blind faith is almost, you know, cult-like behavior here. I got a minute left, so it's not enough time to do it justice, but as I'm looking at the Wausau Pilot and Review, I see that they're still raising money for their legal defense fund. Do we think that there's any change quickly from State Senator Tomchek about the lawsuit that is, you know, basically aimed at putting them out of business?
I don't think so. And I talked to Shireen Seawert, the founder and editor of the Pilot, last week, and this is really difficult for her. I mean, this is really hard. And I just wish that the state senator and the people around the state senator would realize there's no viable path forward. They had this suit tossed. Shireen has more than a handful of ear witnesses that were there and heard it. This is not going to end with a victory for Tory Tomchek in court, but no. All he's trying to do is rack up the bills.
All right. Well, we'll continue to follow that as well. Chad Holmes, his show's coming up next. Hey, Chad, stick around. I got a question for you after we wrap things up here, okay? All right. Thank you so much. All right. And thank all of you for being here as well. Remember, you can follow me on social media, Pat Quitelow Up North on Facebook, Pat Quitelow on Twitter, Threads, Instagram, TikTok, and more. Enjoy your Tuesday. We'll see you back here 6 a.m. tomorrow.